I used to sit by the window in a little one-room place on Hudspeth Street in the Lisbon section, which is a section about like the Black Oak section in this area, in a little one-room place. And I used to watch the big boys, I mean the first and second graders, come home from school and go to school. And I used to say, I'll be glad when I'm big enough to go to school. Now, I can still remember that. And that's been many, many years ago. Oh, 15 or 20 at least. So I can recall sitting there on the corner of Hudspeth and Fernwood Street, looking out the window, watching those big boys. Now, can you remember how big a six-year-old kid used to look to you? I can still recall. And I'd say to myself, boy, I'll be glad when I'm grown so I can go to school. I used to sit on the playground when I was in the first, second grade and watch Virgil Muirhead and Frank Morgan and Ben Sanders play baseball. Virgil Muirhead and Frank Morgan were giants. I'm the biggest kids in the school. They were sixth graders. And I can see them now. But both Virgil Muirhead and Frank Morgan were left-handed. And they could knock that ball out of sight. I'll tell you, and I used to say, man alive, I'll be glad when I am in the sixth grade and grown. I used to ride my bicycle by the Baldestori Junior High School when I was a sixth grader. And I used to watch those giant people in junior high school. And I said, boy, oh boy, I'll be so glad when I can come to junior high school. When I was in junior high school, used to ride the Beckley bus by Adamson High School. And I used to watch those ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps, boys in Adamson High School drill out there. And boy, I could see those lieutenants saying, come in! Tense, hut! Forward! Hut! 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 Boop! Beep, boop, pop, boop, beep. Boy, I'd say, man alive, I wish I was old enough to be in the ROTC in Adamson High School. As a lieutenant in the ROTC in Adamson High School, I used to say to my company, company, tense, up, forward, march, up, boop, beep, boop, up, boop, beep, boop. And as I did, I'd think, boy, I wish this were the real army. Man alive. Wouldn't that be something? If I could be in the army, not just the ROTC, but the real army, where they got bullets in the guns. And so, I wish I could be in the army. I used to sit in the barracks on my footlocker at 2 o'clock in the morning listening to a symphony of snoring, wishing I could sleep. With a flashlight, thumbing through a college catalog, saying, boy, I'll be so glad when I get out of this miserable place and I can go to college. I used to sit in the college classroom. I know it doesn't show. I used to sit in the college classroom and think about pastoring my own church. My own. I used to sit in my study in the Grange Hall Baptist Church out in the country out of Marshall, Texas, and say, boy, I wonder what it would be like to pastor a real big church. I sit in my study now and wonder how it'd be to be in the first grade. Or in Baldestori Junior High School, or in Adamson High School. I used to sit in a little shack and wonder what it'd be like to have a stove where gas came in, and you just put a match there, and the stove would light, turn that valve, and the stove would light. And wonder what it'd be like to have a stove other than a wood stove. I used to wonder how it'd feel to have the front and the back both warm at the same time. I used to wonder how it'd feel to walk down a hallway to the toilet instead of down a pathway. I used to sit in an army barracks and wonder how it would be to have my own private room instead of sharing it with 39 other guys. I used to sit in our little private room and wonder how it'd be to have an apartment. Three whole rooms. Then you get lost in a place like that, I thought. A living room, a kitchen, and a bedroom. Wouldn't that be something? Not to have to cook 2 feet where you sleep and sit on the side of the bed to eat. I used to sit in our little three-room apartment and wonder how nice it'd be to have 2 bedrooms and a little cottage, just a cottage. I used to sit in our little small cottage, wonder how it'd be to have a family room. You call them dens in those days, a den. You can play games in there, listen to the radio. I mean, just loaf. I used to sit in the den and wonder how it'd be to have a real nice big house. Something offset about that. The Lord is telling us here. He's saying, look, things are going to get better, but you need what you're doing now. If you believe that one day it's going to get better, and that I'm going to deliver you, and the bondage will cease, and the suffering will stop. God says, don't make haste. He says, he that believeth shall not make haste. You see, folks, listen. Children, listen. Teenagers, junior high schoolers, listen. High schoolers, listen. College students, listen. Young married couples, listen. You see, every circumstance of God's will is a seminary of training for the next circumstance. You will not enjoy to its fullest your school days until you have enjoyed to its fullest your preschool days. For your preschool days are the foundations and a place of seminary training preparing you for the richest of elementary school experience. And you will not enjoy your high school days or junior high days to their fullest unless you have enjoyed your elementary school days to their fullest. For your preschool days and your elementary school days are but college preparatory courses for a rich junior high school life. Neither will you live to its fullest your college days until you have lived to its fullest your high school days. For every era of our lives is but another brick laid on top of the others, preparing ourselves for the next era and the next level of enjoyment and achievement. Each era of life is but another glimpse of a beautiful, precious stone called life. Did you ever stop and think how precious life is? Did you ever stop and think? Ask Mrs. Jorgensen's mother in Chattanooga. I saw her Friday night before I left. Only at the airport, I stopped by and saw her. She has terminal cancer. Ask her how precious life is. Ask that senior citizen who is seriously ill how precious life is. There's nothing apart from eternal life more precious than life. And each era of our life, if I could get you there, I want to grab you this morning and shake you and say, listen to me, listen to me. Each of the eras of life
is but a different glimpse showing a different hue of the wonderful gift that we call life. You see, God was preparing me for today. I did not know it, but when I was in that little shack as a boy, wishing that we had a stove like everybody else, where gas came through a tube, we could light it, and it burned, and no wood to chop, and no stove to clean out, no ashes to carry out at night, and no fire to bang, and no toilet on the inside. And to go to the restroom, had to walk 50 feet out in the backyard. And oh, you've never been cold. You've never suffered. You go out when it's freezing, icicles, and walk out to an outdoor bathroom. We never have suffered. You see, I did not know it then. But God was preparing me to pastor thousands of bus kids. God was getting me ready. Our ministry at First Baptist Church of Hammond would never be as rich today as it is if I had been reared in poverty. I mean, God said, I need somebody way up there in Chicago someday to reach. Listen, do you understand this? Do you understand that this month we will pass 200,000 professions of faith in Christ walking down the aisle of this church? I don't mean on soul winning now. 200,000 public professions of faith will pass probably this month or next month. You understand? That's a big hunk of Chicago. That's a big lot of the Calumet region. Now, when I sat down there as a kid, God looked up in Chicago and he said, out yonder in 35, 40, 45, 50, 55 years, I want somebody to lead a crusade in Chicago to reach those poor bus kids up there. Or poor kids. And so, God put me in a little shack so I could understand their suffering. You see, when my daddy left home and mother and I lived alone together, I did not know it then. I thought I was getting shortchanged. But last night, a little lady sat in my office and she said, my husband is leaving me and the three children. And she said, the divorce is final in a few days. And I said, she said, but the children. And I said, when the divorce is final, if it is. We'll pray that it's not, but I said, if it is, you bring the children in. And I'll set them down and I'll explain to them how I felt the day that my daddy walked out. And I'll explain to them how lonely I felt. I've taken child after child after child in my office. I mean, with the hundreds. And they've put their little heads on my shoulders. And sometimes a smaller one has sat on my knees and I've said to them, I understand. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. One day my daddy left and those little old saddened heads turned toward me and through those tearful eyes a smile breaks across the face as if they're glad my daddy left. And I'll say, and I recall, do you know what I did? What did you do? And I said, I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. Like you do. But I said, there's something else. I did all my crying alone because my mama needed me to be strong. And your mama needs you to be strong. And here's what they do. You see, somebody needs to know how they feel. God looked and said, there's going to be an area in Chicago where sin does abound and taverns on every street corner. And hell holes and adult bookstores and filth and garbage and rot and all the other things that cause little children to be left without daddies. And God allowed me. I did not know at that time what God was doing. But God was allowing me to go through a certain era in my life so that out yonder in the future, the entire life might be a more beautiful stone than it would have been. I did not know it when I preached my first sermon as a preacher with a suit on I'd gotten from the college clothing store and didn't know it had a patch in the britches till I was on the way to church and I kept pulling down my coat like this. It almost came off like that. Pulling down my coat, covering up the patch and see the riches, so the choir behind me couldn't see the patch and see the riches. I did not know.
I better straighten up.
I did not know when I went to school, got up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to study, went to school, took a 15, 16, 17 hour load, went down to J.C. Penney Company and worked 40 hours a week, took off for a little small country church and tried to pastor it, working day and night. I did not know it. I did not know that God was preparing me to be able to stand up this morning in 1979 and look in the face of you preacher boys who haven't had but 4 or 5 hours sleep a night, if that much, this week. And you've worked hard, and you got your bus route, and you got your family, and you got your college, and you got your job. And you're having a tough time making ends meet. I didn't know it then. But God was getting a college founder ready. I didn't know. When I used to build a fire in a wood stove in a little First Country church I was pastoring, when I'd build a fire, the yellow jackets would come out. I'd spend the next 30 minutes trying to kill the yellow jackets. Then get the brooms and chase 2 woodpeckers out of the top of the building who lived up there 6 days a week. And went out in the front and got the rusty bell and pulled that bell and looked out in the country places and saw the stove pipes with smoke coming out of all of a sudden. And stood out in the front of the church waiting for the folks to come in their tractors, horseback and wagons and one old car. I didn't know then that God put me in the smallest of churches and allowed me to pastor in the most primitive of situations. I didn't know it. But God had a man he wanted to pastor someday. God had a nationwide pastor school. And he wanted somebody to stand up who had pastored 19 people in a primitive condition and thousands of people in a large city condition and everywhere in between. I am simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, every era of our lives is but a foundation, a different glance at this precious, marvelous stone we call life, and a different brick added to build a full and rich life. Now look, don't want the next one to get here. Squeeze all you can out of this one. I did not know when I stood in the door of an airplane with nothing but some folded silk on my back and a sergeant behind me suggesting that I exit as a paratrooper. I did not know when I did 90 push-ups with a full field pack on my back, I mean rifle, I mean mess gear, I mean blanket, I mean pup tent, I mean pup tent sticks. I did 90 push-ups with a full field pack on my back. I did not know, by the way, I can't do 9 now because this full field pack on my front. I did not know then when I stood in the airplane and jumped out of the airplane and did those push-ups and ran 10 miles a day, I did not know then that God was trying to give me a background and an experience whereby I could reach men for God that I never could have reached. I did not know when I bent over a hammer and nails, putting oak floor down in the house, working my way through college, and I've never worked in my life like that. Listen, laying oak floor with a hammer and nails, I never in my life did anything like that. I've done a lot of work, but I did not know that that God was simply letting me do some of the rugged things and the masculine things. So someday, you don't understand how many people I've won to Christ. I say, hello, are you saved?
I don't want that big old rough guy.
I'm a preacher. I'm pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond.
Yeah, I understand.
And what does he say? Sissy. What do we need a bride for him?
Feminine.
Then I'll say, you know, I recall when I was in the paratroopers.
You were in a paratrooper?
Yeah. Recall, we used to do a lot of judo.
You know, judo?
If you walk out this alley, you'll find folks in the alley, bodies out there. I'll slash them to just 13 deacons buried in those garbage cans out there.
You may be next.
But you look, folks. Where are you now? Are you in grade school? Okay. Don't want to be a junior hire yet. Want to be someday. But while you're in grade school, want to be a grade schooler. Don't spend your life. Look, There are people here tonight that never have enjoyed one day of life. Not one day. Not one day. You're going to. When you go to school, you're going to enjoy it in school. You get in school, you're going to enjoy it in junior high school. Get in junior high, you're going to enjoy it in high school. Get in high school, you're going to enjoy it in college. Get in college, you're going to enjoy it when you get married. Get married, you're going to enjoy it when you have kids. Have kids, you're going to enjoy it when the kids are grown up. Kids grown up, you die, put you in the grave, and that's all of it. What in what era? That's what God is saying. God is saying right now, I'm chastening you, Israel. I'm chastening you. I'm persecuting you. The axe is fallen. The clouds are hanging low. The burdens are many. The heartaches are many. The tears come easily. The load is hard to bear. But God is saying, Israel, you need this. But he said someday the sun is going to come through the clouds, and someday the burden's going to be lifted, and someday I'm going to lay a chief cornerstone, even my son, and on Mount Zion he's going to stand, and we're going to disannul our covenant with death, and we're going to disannul our covenant with hell, and you're going to have peace and prosperity and joy. But God said, wait a minute. Just as much as you need the sunshine later, you need the clouds now. And just as much as you need the bright day later, you need the load to carry now. And just as much as you need the relief later, you need the pain now. Young person, don't make haste to the altar. Don't make haste to the wedding altar. Wait till you're ripened. Wait till it's time. Now, if you ladies that are 65, I'm not talking about you. You gals that are 34 and still praying, I'm not talking about you. You young ladies, 16, 17, 18 years of age, don't make haste to the wedding altar. Look, there is a part of life, listen, there is a part of life your future husband needs you to have before you can make for him the wife he needs. And just as much, there is a part of life that you young men need. You've heard me tell this story, but I think it so graphically describes what I'm trying to say. Cindy was 13 or 14. We were sitting at the table late at night, just the two of us. She had her first crush on a boy. First serious crush. And she said, Daddy, can you have real love when you're 14? I think she's 14. 14, 15, 13. Her parents, right there was one of the crucial times of her life. Now, I was prone to say, oh, honey, you're going to have a lot of little boyfriends before you find a right one. The little boyfriend she has now is a little right one. But I said, you're going to have a lot of little boyfriends before you find the right one. But I didn't say that. I could have said, oh, honey, you think you're in love now, but that's puppy love. That's the worst thing in the world to say to a child like that. Worst thing in the world. She said, Daddy, can you have real love? Now, I know what's coming next. If you can have real love, why can't you get married? And I said, honey, of course you can have real love when you're 14 or 15. And that surprised her. She expected the usual dumb parental answer. Well, she said, Daddy, to have real love, why do you have to wait to get married? I walked over to the kitchen cabinet, took out a little juice glass, turned on the water and filled the juice glass up with water. Then reached up here and got a big tall iced tea glass and filled the iced tea glass up with water. I put the little juice glass in one hand, iced tea glass in the other hand, walked over to Cindy, and I said, honey, what's in this little glass? She said, water. What's in this big glass? She said, water. I said, does the little glass have real water? Is it just as real as the big water in the big glass? Yes, sir. I said, what's the difference? She said, the big glass can hold more of the same water. And then tears began to come. And I said, honey, don't you think it would be better to wait that you can have more of this real love? I said, sure you have the real thing, but now it's a little bit useless, Will. I said, the reason you wait to get married is so you can have an iced tea last offer instead of a
juice glass. And she came running to Daddy and put her arms around me, and she said, "Daddy, you are so smart." And I said, "You are so right." Not sure I said that, but I know how I operate. College student, don't take a 2-year course in college and quit. I'm worried about this business course we're offering our girls next year. I every day I worry about it a little more. I don't want it to be used as a buffer against getting a good college education. Finish your college. Get your degree. Go ahead. I mean, if you're in college, but I want to get married now. Okay. But look, do not forfeit that next era by laying a poor foundation in this era. Your marriage needs the era through which you're going now. Preacher student, don't rush to the pastorate. Don't rush to the pastorate. Wait. Train. Prepare. Get ready. Let every era of your life build on the preceding one. And wait. Wait till you're ready. Look, God knows where you are. You, listen, there is a God in heaven that knows more than your denominational secretary knows. There's a God in heaven that knows more than Brother Dr. Evans knows. There's a God in heaven that knows more than Dr. Howells knows. There's a God in heaven that knows more than your pastor back home knows. And that God can give you a place to preach. Don't rush out half-cocked. You understand? You like the Texan. So busy, he got on his horse and rode off in all directions. Or like the rich Texan went down to the airport and said, "Give me a ticket, quick." And they said, "Where to?" He said, "It don't make any difference. I got business all over." And that's the way some of you are. Half-cocked, riding off in all directions. But God says, "He that believeth will not make haste." He that believeth. Listen, he that believeth will take time in high school to savor every day of it, and the last day in high school will still be a day of savoring high school. And in college, all the way through, he will savor every bit, not reaching for tomorrow's joys and stepping on today's, not looking for tomorrow's happiness and trampling under your feet today's. Listen, college wives and young married men in college, there is something sweet and precious about the days in which you are living now that you will never get to enjoy any other era in your life. Use it. Enjoy it. Don't be looking out yonder. No, now. Now. People, they come to my office. They enroll in school 1 week and come next week. The house, where do you think I ought to start a church 4 years from now? Don't you even think about it until 3.5 years from now. The Bible says the Lord orders our steps, not our pathway. Now, while you're in school, what you need to say is, how can I learn the most? How can I? Listen, some of you wives, you're having it rough, and I know it. But looking back on these days when you get older, you're going to think of these as being some of the sweetest, most precious days of your life. It's a tragedy. You don't know it now. Students, young parent, don't wish your child were older. When the child gets out of these diapers, I'll be the happiest woman in the world. No, you won't. You'll have another one in diapers. Oh, here's the sad thing about it. In a few years, you'll be seeing other little babies as you're writing your married daughter a letter, and you'll say, "I remember. I wish I had another one." And your married daughter will come home and leave one with you to babysit with. But I'm saying that look, there's something sweet, you know, da 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 da. I'm sorry. Da 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 da. You know, and you feed them, and then you back it comes. You scrape it. Now look, don't say when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're up feeding the baby. Don't say, oh. When she just gets weaned or just gets trained, don't say that. You say, my baby, who's tugging at my breast now, is the closest to me she'll ever be. And one day soon, her life will find other avenues of happiness. And her pathway will take her from my pathway. And so while I'm holding her close and while her little mouth is suckering from my own breast, I'm going to enjoy it, for this is the closest we'll ever be. She's completely dependent on me now. Now, if you do that, the years when she's weaned, those years will be sweeter and richer. Senior citizen, I want to talk to you for a minute. Don't lament. Listen, I don't know any more beautiful thought than what I'm going to tell you right now. Don't lament the fact that you're old. Don't lament it. Enjoy it. Say, what other era, listen, what other era of life, what other era of life can take all of the rest of life and put it together? When you're a child, you can't, you say, oh, when you get older, if I'd known that when I was young, you know it now. You know it. Look, a little child only has infancy to enrich his life. An adolescent only has infancy and childhood to enrich his life. A young adult only has infancy, adolescence, childhood, and adolescence to enrich his life. A middle-aged person only has infancy, childhood, adolescence, and young adulthood to enrich his life. But those of us who are in our mid and later years, we have all of life to enrich us. And the richest, happiest, most fulfilling years of all ought to be those senior years. Now, wait a minute. I have a conviction as deep as my soul that the senior years are but years full of delight and joy and happiness and contentment. Listen carefully now. That if we do not enjoy, we will not enjoy heaven as much. So if you're 65 or 70 or 75 or 80 or 85 or 90 or my mother, whatever you are, enjoy now. Oh, but you say the end is coming. No, the end is not coming. The beginning is coming. The beginning. You see, it's a wonderful thing when an infant becomes a child and the little tooth is pulled. I say to the little girl, you've been in a fight. No, I haven't been in a fight. No, yes, you have. You've been in a fight. No, my daddy pulled my tooth. Well, what was under your pillow? The fairy left a quarter. You got a tight wad for a fairy, haven't you? Yeah, there. But all of a sudden, infancy opens up like a little bud in the springtime down south, opening up to a beautiful flower. And then when that child becomes an adolescent, there's that other little bud opening up. And now then, all the excitement of the 10 years and new appetites and new enjoyment and new excitement and new thrill, a teenager! And then all of a sudden, and you can see it, you can almost see it happen the day after graduation from high school. And you can sure see it happen, John, when they come home from college the first time. You can see it happen. All of a sudden, another bud is opening. The bud into adulthood with all of its privileges and beauty and fulfillment and excitement. And then there comes a time when that adult comes. comes to the sweetest years of all, when all that he's learned he put into one beautiful bud, and then it opens up, and there's Aunt Lou, or my mother, or Harriet Goodloe, or others, in the beautiful, blooming season of life. And then there comes a time, if we've lived every era of life to its fullest, when the final budding takes place, when we shall plant our bodies and wake up on the other side, and that bud shall open into a bud that is the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. And I feel that nobody will ever be as happy a child unless he has been realizing in his infancy his own joy. And nobody will ever be as happy a teenager unless he has a rich childhood. And nobody will ever be as happy a young adult unless he has a rich adolescence. And nobody will be as happy as a middle-ager unless he has a rich young adult life. And nobody will ever be as happy as a senior citizen unless he has a rich middle age. And nobody will be as happy in heaven unless he has prepared himself for the final and glorious opening of God's plumes as that person who through his life has believed, and because he has believed, he's not made haste.